and I'm going to preach for 10 minutes. So if you will bear with me for that. Some of you are laughing, not sure. My wife is laughing, not sure that that can actually happen. We've been looking at Christmas. What does Christmas look like when the gospel comes into a new city? Is it possible that Christmas actually happens, a birth again happens where Jesus is born in the hearts of people? What does it look like when Christmas comes to a place where it hasn't been? When Jesus is born in a surprising way in somebody else's heart who maybe wasn't expecting to experience Christmas. Now, you saw the story as the kids played it out. Thank you, Stacy, and thank you, kids, for helping with that. Let's give them another round of applause. The very reality was that Christmas was messy. And the very first Christmas had a lot of difficulty, unexpected adjustments to schedules and to life plans, and a lot of pain, hardship, difficulty that people went through. So we're going to look at, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 16. And I want us to look a little bit. When Christmas came to Philippi, the city of Philippi, Paul is a preacher, and he's been looking for places to share the gospel. He has a dream one night, and the dream is of a person saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And so Paul and his companions go to the city of Philippi. Last week we looked at, we were in the birthing room as a woman named Lydia accepted Jesus Christ and was baptized. We're going to look at a little bit today at the disruptions that happened that Christmas or that season in Philippi. Acts chapter 16, starting with verse 16. Luke is recording. He says, once when we were going to that place of prayer alongside the river, just outside the city, when we were going to that place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. Now, I want you to know, you know when you go to a palm reader or you see signs about a psychic that will tell your future? I want you to know that's not new experience. That's stuff that's been happening for centuries. And it's not holy. It's unholy. There is an evil spirit who is seeking to deceive and then plays this game of trying to answer your questions of wanting to know what the future's like, but giving you unrealistic answers. The only reliable way for us to know future is Scripture and God's promises about the future. But there's a woman in Philippi that's been owned, or you might even say trafficked, manipulated by some owners, some older people who have then taken her and taken advantage of this demonic spirit that's in her. And they've been making lots of money by her offering a service to the people in Philippi who want to know the future. Now she's following Paul, follow on with verse 17. She followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. Now, on the surface, that sounds like, man, she's helping them. She's speaking a truth. By demonic understanding, she knows that what these people, Paul and his companions, are talking about, she knows that they're talking about Jesus. And that they represent the one and only true God. Now, I don't know if you have anybody at work who might mock you by saying things that you say are true. Like maybe you say you believe that God created the heavens and the earth. And everybody else in the office believes in evolution, that it happened by evolution over billions of years by chance, cells evolving into greater complexity. And somebody at the office or at the school where you attend mocks you and says, Rich, he believes that God created the heavens and the earth. And they're just mocking you. They're saying what you believe. They're saying something that actually is true, but they're actually doing it in mocking to disrupt. And it seems like at some point that becomes annoying to the Apostle Paul. So verse 18, she kept this up for many days. And finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you, come out of her. And at that moment, the Spirit left her. So let me just make a statement here. As much as the Christmas play that you just saw seemed really nice and pleasant, and there's nice songs to go along with it, I want you to know that the Christmas story was actually a spiritual battle between a conflict between two heavenly strong powers. And one is ultimately strong, and one is a pretender. And Christmas is a disruptor to Satan's strategy. I want to say that again. Christmas is not just a story of a baby being born in a manger or in low and difficult conditions. Christmas is a story of disruption. And just like in Star Wars, there's a sense there's a disruption in the Force. Heaven and hell knew something was happening. And I just want you to know, every time Christmas, the gospel is brought into a new area, you're going to see a rise, I think, of spiritual activity, spiritual warfare. And as Paul is bringing the gospel into Philippi, you know what happens? Satan increases his presence there too. Now, I don't know where you're at in your walk with Christ. I don't know what you believe about God. I don't really know whether you believe the devil is real or not. I get my beliefs from the Scriptures, and the Scriptures suggest that there is a fallen angel. He's not a god. He's a fallen angel. He doesn't know the future. He just likes to predict things. All he knows is the current and the past. He doesn't know the future. But he's great at deceiving. And I want you to know that when Christmas is happening, when God's on the move to do something great, and when you're on the move to share the gospel with somebody else, I want you to anticipate there's going to be a rise in unholy warfare that happens. Don't be surprised. If you're a person who hasn't really made a decision for Christ, and you're just investigating these things about what Christians believe, I want you to anticipate that you're going to sense in your life two forces at work, and they're almost going to seem competing. There's going to be times when your spirit seems to resonate so much with the truth of the gospel, and it's going to seem like God's drawing you to himself. And then there's also going to be times when it seems like somebody's throwing thoughts in your mind about how could God do this? If he's a good God, why would he do this? And doubt starts to come in, or trouble starts to come into your life. And you say, well, I thought I was on a right path to try to find God, and so why is this stuff happening? I just want you to know, when you sense an increase, a disruption in the unholy world, when you sense evil and trouble happening around you, I want you to know that that's partially because God is on the move. God is near. And don't be surprised when the spiritual battle increases. Because in the midst of that disruption, God is bringing something to reality. And in Paul's story with the Philippians, as he's trying to share the gospel, he senses the activity of Satan at the same time. Now, I don't know what life is going like for you, but this morning I got a call from one of our members who has a friend from high school, back when he was in high school, who died this morning unexpectedly at a hospital. His wife woke up at 5 o'clock this morning. He wasn't breathing normally. She did CPR, called an ambulance. Ambulance did CPR, and he was dead before they could get him to the hospital. And she's sitting in an emergency room on a Sunday morning, 10 days before Christmas. And she and her 13-year-old daughter and her 11-year-old daughter are alone. Now, I don't know why that stuff happens. I just want to say, Jesus Christ came to disrupt Satan's plan. He came so that those who are facing death or illness or sickness or grief wouldn't have to live with that reality, but would be able to have the hope of everlasting life, that Jesus could conquer the grave, that he would come and rescue them, that even through the valley of the shadow of death, they would sense that God's giving hope. And there's people around you right now in the middle of Christmas are experiencing incredible hardships. It seems like these two stories are going on at the same time. There's Christmas lights all over the city. There's songs being played in all the stores. There's gifts being given at workplaces. Neighbors are sharing goodies and cookies with each other. And in the midst of that, there's an underlying story that Satan is on the move. And he's weighing somebody down with depression. He's overcoming somebody's spirit with grief. I want you to know, Christmas is not just a pretty Christmas nativity play. Christmas is a spiritual battle. And there's a disruption in Satan's plan to steal as many hearts as he can from the Father. And you ought to know that every time Christmas comes near to some city, Satan's going to be at work as well. So in the midst of that, the story goes on in Acts chapter 16, that the owners of this girl are really frustrated, and the disruption continues. Verse 19, when her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they grabbed Paul and Silas, dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. Then they brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city in an uproar. By advocating customs for us Romans to accept or practice, or that are unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The disruption gets worse, and we'll look at next week the verses that follow what happens to Paul and Silas because of this disruption. Seems like Satan's winning. But I want to take you back to Christmas in Nazareth. I want you to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. And we're going to look when Matthew, the father of Jesus. Am I at 10 minutes already? Look at that. Can you believe that? There we go. Okay, Matthew chapter 1. Heaven is going to send the conqueror. And the battle that's been going on since creation, the Garden of Eden, when Satan, the serpent, deceived Eve and caused her to disobey and mistrust God's good plan for her. The deceiver has been sowing ill and hardship and sickness and pain and hatred and anger. He's been doing that for centuries, and God is going to send a conquering rescuer. Verse 18, Matthew 1, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came to be. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Would you just put yourself in this situation? We've read this for years. We heard it this morning. We saw it represented this morning. Beautiful Mary and handsome Joseph over here standing together at the manger. But Joseph is a godly man, and his life is going to be disrupted. Because when Christmas happens, not only is Satan's strategy disrupted, but your and my plans get disrupted. What seems like a good plan to you, all of a sudden, God may say, you know what? I've got something else that I'm planning for you. So Joseph is engaged, betrothed to Mary, and midway through their betrothal, before they're actually married, before they would have had any kind of sexual relations, Mary's pregnant. Guys, you have to be thinking what Joseph was thinking, or he had to be thinking what you would have been thinking. How could she have done this? How come I never noticed this? What have I missed? Did I misjudge? Did our family misjudge her character? Now, Joseph's disruption forces him to try to do what he thinks is the best thing to do. In the Bible times, somebody who was caught in adultery, they were to be publicly stoned for that sin. Joseph, being a righteous man, and like God, a man of mercy, says, well, I can't go through with this. This isn't the way I wanted my family to be. So I'll have to write a certificate of divorce. And that's what you had to do in betrothal. It was more serious than an engagement we have. He had to publicly divorce her, separate himself from her, and call off the wedding. He goes to bed with that plan. And in the middle of the night, God sends a dream that disrupts his plans. Have you ever done that? Has that ever happened to you? You make a good decision, you talk over something in the middle of the night before you go to bed, and then in the middle of the night, you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, you think, that's not what I'm supposed to do. What in the world? How are we gonna go through this? So Joseph is experiencing this. Verse 19, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, he didn't want to expose her to public disgrace, had in mind to divorce her quietly. Verse 20, but after he had considered this. Okay, so let me ask one more question. This is a question I have about God. Why doesn't he tell you his plan right up front? Why does he wait for us to make our plan? And then he says, okay, well, here, I'm going to adjust that a little bit. Now, God is very good at giving good counsel, and I believe Joseph was trying to use Scripture to give a good plan for how he should honor Mary and her family, but also call off the wedding. But as he's made his plan, all of a sudden, as he's sleeping, the angel appears to him and says, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Listen to verse 21. She will give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Do you catch that? God is disrupting Satan's strategy with Christmas. And I want you to know, every time Christmas, the birthing room starts to happen, when somebody's heart starts to open up to things of faith and starts to ask questions, I want you to sense that what's happening is a disruption in Satan's kingdom as somebody's starting to come to faith to say, I believe Jesus is the Christ. The word Jesus, Jesus or Yeshua, is a form of Joshua, and that word means the Lord saves or the Lord rescues. And Jesus is given that name by Matthew. The angel says you're going to give him the name that's going to identify who he is and what his mission is. So my 10 to 12 minutes is up. Let me just ask you today, is it possible that this Christmas God wants Jesus to be born again in somebody's life? And the place where it's happening is actually the place where there's the most disruption, where there's the most tension, cause of evil rising and hardship is happening and oppression is mounting. And in that very place, God's going to send Jesus, the one who rescues and saves his people from their sins. And you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you, like Paul, you get to come in. And in the name of Jesus, you get to command Satan to leave. Not by your power, but by the authority of Jesus Christ. Satan's kingdom crumbles as a person comes to faith in Jesus Christ. And I want to ask you, in the midst of the stories of Christmas that seem pleasant and beautiful and nicely colored and airbrushed, underneath, or have you seen any places this Christmas where it's ugly, painful, disruptive, where Satan seems to be causing more shame and guilt and anger and tension? You can see the enemy's work. Where he's working, the answer is not just go get more mental health. Isn't just more food. The answer is announce the name of Jesus in the midst of that disruption. In the name of Jesus Christ, find hope. We have been praying a prayer through this series. It's this prayer, Lord, would you come this Christmas? Lord, come this Christmas. And I'd like you today, I'd like you to identify where's the place that you'd like to see Christmas come. I'd like you to identify a situation maybe in your neighborhood, in your workplace, where you say, man, Satan is really working hard in that area. And rather than running from that, would you line yourself up with God's strategy, because God wants to send Jesus into the midst of that misery. And he's going to let you be his representative. And in the midst of the misery, in the midst of the hardship, would you come with a message of Jesus and of hope and love? Because Christmas isn't just about peace and calm. It's about a disruption as God's kingdom starts to bring hope to a hopeless world. You can anticipate Satan increasing his effort, and you can anticipate people being rescued from bondage, and just like that slave girl, finally coming to a place of peace. I want to encourage you, what would it look like if you were in the birthing room when Jesus is born in somebody's life who's been going through chaos, but the Holy Spirit opens the door, and as you announce the gospel message of Jesus as a rescuer, savior, healer, and forgiver. Wouldn't it be awesome to be in that room as somebody places their faith in Jesus Christ and turns their heart to the promise he made? I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to ask us to end that prayer time with you identifying a place where you would say, Lord, I want Jesus to come into this chaos this Christmas, this year, this December, in Omaha, Nebraska, or in your neighborhood. Would you pray, Jesus, come into that chaos and bring your peace? Would you pray with me? Father God, we are so thankful for the beautiful story of Christmas that was told up here, but also for the reality of Christmas, of an intense spiritual battle between Satan and your good purposes. And Father, we pray that you would help us as a church family to be a repository of hope. That here in our neighborhood and the places where we work and the neighborhoods where we live and the places where we shop, that this year our antenna would be alert to the places where there's chaos and oppression and hardship and pain. And we see the effort of Satan over and over again. And at some point, Father, would you, like Paul, would you allow our spirits to become annoyed, discontent? It doesn't need to be this way. Satan doesn't need to have his run with this holiday. And then, Father, would you help us to bring Jesus, the rescuer, the one who can save people from their sins. Help us to bring Jesus into that situation. More than just acts of kindness, more than just a gift of thanks or gratitude. Father, would you help us to continue what you started at Christmas? Would you help us to introduce Jesus into the chaos? Lord, Father, I don't know what all the situations are like of each person that's in this room. I don't know what the challenges are that they're facing. But I know Jesus is the answer. And I pray right now, would you infuse us with hope? And would you let the light of the glory of Jesus come into the chaos and the darkness? And would you make this church, as we depart from here, would you make this body of believers distributors of hope, communicators of Jesus into the places of pain and chaos? And I pray specifically for this young lady who lost her husband this morning. And I pray that Satan would not gain his foothold in their family as they go through the grief, loss, confusion, and questions. Jesus, we pray that that wouldn't steal Christmas for them, but that, Jesus, would you be born again in their family in a powerful way that gives them hope and allows them to have a testimony. Please comfort them. Jesus, Yeshua, Lord, save them. Come near them, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask the praise